Whether it's financial security, a free vacation home, time for traveling, more quality time with the family, or even early retirement, whatever you choose to do with the income and benefits that come with successfully investing in short-term rentals, you know that it's certainly life-changing. This podcast will help guide and support you on your journey to five-star STR success.
Hey everybody, Jay Alexander here with Homestar. I wanted to come at you with this week's economic update, getting a little bit of a late start on this versus what we normally like to do. I'm actually traveling today, and so we'll get back to kind of our normal program next week. I appreciate everybody being patient. Wanted to go over a couple of details. Really, what I wanted to focus on this week was breaking down the jobs report that came out. I don't know if, I know me and Brandon talked about it last week, and mentioned that the jobs report was going to be a big deal and kind of the next big economic report that we would have since Tuesday. And we got that in and just wanted to break down some of the numbers. If you follow economic news, I'm sure you've looked at it and maybe seen some of the headlines. But I want to get into some of the details and just go into, you know, what we're actually seeing and what I think it tells us about the economy that we're in right now. So the headline numbers look pretty good. The expectations were for 300,000 new jobs created. We actually exceeded that number. We were at 315,000 jobs created, according to the jobs report. However, what's interesting about that is the expectation was with the creation of 300,000 new jobs, the unemployment rate would actually stay the same. We would stay at a 3.5% unemployment rate. And the unemployment rate actually increased. We went to 3.7. So we went from 3.5 to 3.7% unemployment on the jobs report and the surveys and the way they model stuff. And that always, you know, makes me laugh because it's like, guys, can we not do basic math? If we created 300,000 jobs and if we thought we were going to create 300,000 jobs, we created 315,000 jobs and the employment rate went up, you know, what gives or what's going on? So just to break it down a little bit. To understand the employment rate and what's going on when we get that number from these reports and some of the economic data that we receive, a big thing that's looked at is to determine the unemployment rate, to figure out who's unemployed, we actually look at not who doesn't have a job, but who has been looking for a job and doesn't have a job. Make sense? So if there's somebody who, if they haven't looked for a job in the last 4 weeks or 6 weeks, I forget exactly what the number is, and that person is still unemployed, they do not count in the unemployed rate. So what you actually had, according to this last jobs report, is we had more workers come back to the workforce or more people looking for a job than previously were looking. So as a result, even though we created more jobs than we anticipated, the workers, the pool of workers, or the supply of labor in the market actually increased, and that's why the unemployment rate went up. So that was interesting, and again, it's a telltale sign that there's people out there looking for jobs. And if we get into the actual jobs report and the way they break it down, the numbers, and I've got some data here I want to break down for you, so we can see why that is, and maybe make some, you know, and we can infer maybe what's going on in the economy right now. So the first thing to know is of the 315,000 jobs that were created, over 80% of those job gains were with Americans aged 16 to 19 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like summer jobs for high schoolers. That doesn't sound like, you know, high dollar, full-time jobs, high quality jobs that we're looking for that you would imagine when you read the headline in the news, it says, oh, we created 315,000 jobs. If you look at full-time jobs specifically, on the net, we actually lost 230,000 full-time jobs in the economy, according to that jobs report that came out on Friday. So again, over 80% of the job gain was with teenagers. It was with 16 to 19-year-olds. For full-time jobs, we actually lost 230,000 jobs. And then the previous jobs reports for the last couple of years were actually revised down, or a couple of years, excuse me, last month, was actually revised down 100,000 jobs from what was previously reported. So when you look at the jobs report on the whole, the headline will be like, oh, unemployment rate's still low. We created more jobs than we anticipated. Everything's great. Everything's going fine. And then obviously politically, there's motivations, depending on which side of the aisle you sit on, to say everything's great or, oh, there's trouble or whatever the case may be. I think when you actually look into the jobs report and look at that data, it doesn't paint a picture of a thriving economy. If we're depending on, you know, high schoolers to go get summer jobs to make the jobs report look good, I think that tends towards maybe jobs report in the next several months looking bad as those kids quit those jobs and go back to school, or they work less hours where it doesn't even count as a part-time job anymore to go back to school and high school and college and things of that nature. So as we talked about last week, GDP has been negative for two readings in a row. That is always a telltale sign of a recession. This jobs report on the surface looked pretty good, but when you break it down, the net reduction in losses for the previous jobs report, the fact that most of the job gains were, you know, low-paying, low-wage jobs for younger Americans, and full-time jobs were actually a net loss, then that paints the picture, I think, that we all know and we're kind of expecting that, you know, overall the economy is definitely slowing down, definitely in a recession. The good news, or kind of the, if you want to put a silver lining in the cloud, so to speak, would be that when you, you know, have less people working and, you know, the jobs report is dominated by part-time jobs, overall that would lead to, you know, less income or less money flowing to workers, which should help inflation numbers. I think one of the Fed's big concerns with the economy that we were in, say, 6 months ago, is this perpetual motion machine where workers are getting paid more and more money, and then they're going to work and then they're having to pay more and more for their goods. And you can, you know, kind of the joke is always, or the phrase is always, if you let the inflation genie out of the box, it can be really difficult to get it back in the box or get that genie back in his lamp, so to speak. So the jobs report does at least go far enough to tell us that I think the Fed's actions with raising their rates and what they're doing with the Fed funds rate is helping to stay inflation and curb inflation. And so that's what we've seen previously. We had one of the voting Fed members last week. She mentioned that she thought the Fed funds rate would have to get up around 4% or potentially higher. We're actually sitting in the high 2% right now. So that gives you an idea over the next, you know, 8 to 12 months, we're still expecting the Fed to continue raising and holding higher interest rates in the economy. Looking ahead, we get a really, really big CPI number. When we come at you with this report next week, we'll have a new consumer price index number for you to look at and break down. That'll be the last major report until before the Fed meets towards the end of September. So I'm sure they'll have an eye on that, and we'll certainly have an eye on it for you and break down what we're looking at. Chad, good question as far as what the next Fed rate would be. All expectations are right now that the Fed is going to raise their benchmark rate, their Fed funds rate, 0.5% next meeting. So that's that meeting's expected to conclude September 23rd, so we're a couple weeks away from that. And we are anticipating a 0.5% rate increase. With this jobs report being low, there's nothing in, the headline number looks good, but with the report being what it is, I don't think there's anything in this report that would lead to another 0.75% rate hike by the Fed. If we get a really, really bad CPI number, that might push the Fed towards a higher rate hike than we're anticipating. But again, we'll know more and we'll keep an eye on that when that report comes out. But again, any smart money right now, if you're a betting person, would be betting on a 0.5% Fed funds raise, or 0.5% raise on the Fed funds rate. And remember, guys, this is not mortgage rates. This is not necessarily the rate that you pay for all the debt or that you would get on a CD or a savings account. This is the rate that the Fed sets that banks borrow money from each other overnight. It's a short-term interest rate. And effectively what that does is it raises the cost of money, so businesses have to make more money to than they would have previously to justify what they're doing or to justify their existence, so to speak. Because as an investor, I can either invest in a bank that's guaranteed to pay me a certain rate, or I can take more risk and invest in a company and expect that company to pay me a higher rate of return. Obviously, if that company's offering a 5% rate of return when the Fed's funds rate is 0.25%, that looks pretty attractive. if that company's offering me a 5% rate of return when the Fed funds rate is 4%, maybe that's not a worth the risk or not quite as an attractive an investment as it used to be. So the whole point of that is to slow down the economy, to get inflation in check. I do think that the data we've gotten since the Fed went on their rate hike is showing that it is working. And so we just have to get through this, get inflation calmed down, get some, you know, gas and food and goods and prices and all that calmed down. And again, on that front, guys, there's, again, some more good news there overall. Some examples of some just basic commodities. You know, lumber is down 60% from its peak. Wheat's down 40%. Copper's down 30% from its peak. So at the end of the day, this is the results we're looking for, even if it is tough or a little bit painful in the interim. And the Fed has been using those numbers pretty extensively, you know, short-term pain and, you know, hey, we're here to serve the American people, but there may be some pain in the economy. They keep using the word pain over and over and over again. But the good news is, you know, the tools they have at their disposal are working and are accomplishing the goals that they hope to accomplish with the economy now. As that impacts you or individually, me individually as an investor, as a short-term rental owner, you know, no reason to call it anything other than what it is. It in a recession, obviously, the overall population typically tends to pull back some of their spending. And that includes spending on vacations and stays and stuff like that. I'm actually, you can look in the background right here, I'm actually traveling this week. That's another reason why I'm a little bit delayed getting this video out there. But I can tell you travel right now is just a little bit difficult, right? You kind of, I was personally expecting there to be some delays and issues getting to the flight on time and getting to the room and stuff like that. As a short-term rental owner, I think it is a really good time for us to focus on providing true five-star level service, making what we do convenient for customers, convenient for our guests, to get not only five-star reviews, but also to get personal recommendations and to hopefully get, you know, high dollar repeat bookings, people that are willing to pay that extra money because they know they did have a good stay at a specific condo or mountain cabin or, you know, whatever it is that you're marketing and that you're offering through your investments and through your short-term rentals. But like I said, guys, that's basically it for this week. I'll always be watching this post. If you have any specific questions, please be sure to put it on there. From a interest rate, for the mortgage interest rate standpoint, because that's obviously my the field that I'm in. Today specifically, we saw mortgage rates go up. The reason for that is when you have a jobs report, once you break it down, you realize it's really not that good. There's a concern that the Fed may potentially pause or lower their fight on inflation and pause their rate hikes to help the economy along, because it's never good politically to have, you know, overall what's perceived as weak jobs reports and things like that. Again, I don't think the Fed will do that. And I think as we get more statements from the Fed this week and next week, I think everything should point towards them continuing to raise that their Fed funds rate. Historically, as they raise that rate, we typically see eventually mortgage rates come down, but we're just in too early in the stages yet to have actually seen that or really felt that significantly on the mortgage rate sheets that we use to quote interest rates. But like I said, just that's the update for this week, guys. Certainly, if you have any questions, let me know. Again, looking ahead next week, we're really going to be zeroed in on that CPI number that comes out Tuesday morning before we get on here again, and we'll break that number down and look at it for you. Like I said, if you have any questions, let me know, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Y'all have a good week. Hope everybody had a great Labor Day, and we will see you soon.